Our text this morning is very short. The scripture that we have from God's word, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us give thanks for God's word. This 2 weeks ago, I was talking to some ladies, and I said in the conversation that I had to do something. And one of the ladies looked at me and rebuked me. She said, it's not that you have to do it, it's that you should enjoy doing it. Well-timed rebuke. We learn in the scriptures that the scripture is profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, instruction, admonishment, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And I'm thankful for people who have rebuked me at various times in my life. Often it takes just one or two sentences to get the job done. This passage of scripture is one sentence. And it begins with a therefore. If you are familiar with the book of the Bible, therefore shows up frequently. What follows the therefore is usually a consequence of what has preceded. And this particular exhortation to continually give thanks follows what preceded in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews tells us of the superiority of Christ, that he is greater than the angels, that he's greater than Moses, that he's greater than Aaron, that he's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that his sacrifice is greater than all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And that Jesus is the one who is outside the tabernacle. If you read just previous to this verse, you'll see that people who are offering up the sacrifices at the tabernacle are not worthy. It's because Jesus went outside of the camp and he suffered outside the camp, and we are to go to Jesus. So therefore, the therefore is as a result of the consequence of the work of Jesus Christ as high priest, and that he himself is the tabernacle of God. The next part of the exhortation is that it's by him. We cannot do this without Christ. You may recall that the psalmist in Psalm 51 says, open thou our lips that we might show forth thy praise. And at one point, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And that includes praise. We can do nothing without him. So therefore, by him, now we are to do something. And what we are to do is continually offer a sacrifice. Jesus is the high priest, but you and I, as his people, were priests. And as priests, we have the privilege of offering up sacrifice. You say, well, I thought Jesus Christ, on his death, took care of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He did take care of all the blood sacrifices, this is true. But the New Testament speaks of a number of sacrifices that you and I are to be offering up. And this, in my opinion, is the first and most important, the sacrifice of praise. You see, if you offer up the sacrifice of praise continually, which is the exhortation, there's no room for complaint. There's no room for grumbling. There's no room for worry. There's no room for fear. As I look back over my life, many of the things that resulted in pain and sorrow for my family were decisions that I made as a result of fear. Fear that I would fail as a father. Fear that I would fail as a husband. Fear that I was a fail in my vocation, which was pastor. Fear. It's amazing. As I look back and examine some of the things that I have done, how many of them done arose out of fear? What can I conclude about my own life? I can conclude that at that time I was not praising God. My focus was not on the God who loves me and cares for me and holds me in his hand continually, but it was on something else. Consider what it means to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It's a continual operation. The scriptures are interesting. If you look at all that God requires us to do continually, just to name another one, pray without ceasing. If we prayed without ceasing, life would be different. If we continually offer praise, life would be different. Praise means that you're focused on the God who loves you. Consider what you can praise him for. Let's just, for a moment, think. We can praise him for creation. We can praise him for my own creation. We can praise him for redemption. We can praise him for daily provision. We can praise him for friends, family, and we can praise him for those people who are loving enough to rebuke us. We can praise him for his word. And we can praise him for the hope that we have of eternal life. As God's child, you already enjoy eternal life. Did you know that? Remember what Jesus said to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. And then we have that question, do you believe this? And each one of us has to answer that question for ourselves. Do you believe what Jesus said to Martha? That you will never die. That's the root of praise. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they came back and they were all thrilled because even the demons obeyed them. And Jesus said, don't rejoice for that reason. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's the root of joy. There's the root of praise. You, as God's child, belong to him and therefore you possess eternal life. And a consequence of that is nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. I know some of you want to record all those circumstances in life that were painful. Some of those circumstances in life that were so painful, you didn't understand and you didn't see the hand of God. I know. I've been there. But he loves you. Nothing can separate you from his love. Read that portion where Paul says, not famine, sword, pestilence, no created thing can separate you from the love of God. You are his child. And he is the one who says to you, I love you. You are in the beloved, and therefore I love you. Praise should not be a hard thing to do. We call it a sacrifice. We call it a sacrifice because this should characterize our lives. And in the time of trouble, you might find praise very difficult. I know I did. When Job lost everything, he immediately bowed and worshiped, and he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It took me 10 months after my wife died to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Immediately I could say, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away." But I could not say the rest. I just couldn't. It took me 10 months. But Job did it immediately. The God who does these things, he does all for my benefit. We understand this, do we not? Romans 8, 28, 29. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. The good and the purpose is to do what? Conform you to the image of his Son. And that's always going on as God works in your life by his Spirit. But this exhortation tells us something else. It tells us that the sacrifice of praise is fruit. Fruit. Now, some of you have gardens, some of you are farmers, and all of us enjoy fruit. We all understand what fruit is. Fruit is that which is produced by a plant when it reaches maturity. Praise to God that is continual is fruit. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? "I am the vine, you are the branches." The implication being that we are the fruit bearers. And he speaks about bearing fruit in John chapter 15, that our fruit would remain. And praise is to be fruit. If you abide in God and you abide in Christ, you will bear fruit, and part of that fruit will be praise. If you abide in him. I can be hard on myself. When I look in the mirror, sometimes I see somebody who's not full of praise. I see a grumbler and a complainer. When I grumble and complain, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not abiding in Christ. You see, abiding in Christ means that I am one with him, as he prayed in John 17, that they would be one even as you and I are one. I need to be one with Christ, and if I am one with Christ, I can be one with you, if you are one with Christ also. This sacrifice of praise is a measure of your maturity, for it is fruit. You say, "Well, I've been a Christian for 45 years. Yeah, but you might still be an infant. That was the problem in the book of Hebrews. The writer of the Hebrews rebuked his audience because they were still having milk and they needed meat. They hadn't grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The New Testament gives us many different ways to measure our growth. And this is one of them. Are you producing the fruit of praise? Now, I want you to understand that this praise is not just praising other people for a job well done. It's not praising myself. It's not praising anybody except God and giving thanks to him. Your whole focus is to be on the one who loved you and sent his Son to be your propitiation. Your whole focus is to be the one who enables you day to day to get up and get out of bed. The one who enables you to do whatever it is you do. You remember the Israelites. For years they were in slavery, and Moses comes along, and after 10 plagues, They go out of Egypt. They don't just leave Egypt. They plunder Egypt. They take the gold, the silver, they take all this stuff. And as soon as they get on the other side of the Red Sea, they have this great praise time. It's antiphonal. The men sing, the women sing, and it's a wonderful song in Exodus 15. 3 days later, you know what they're doing? Wanting to go back to Egypt. You see, their praise was temporal. It was not continual. Their praise was not focused on the God who did things, but on the things that he did. And therefore, 3 days later, they're complaining. My exhortation this morning is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are God's priest. And as God's priest, you have a sacrifice that you are continually to offer, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to God. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we ask that you would open our lips, that we might show forth your praise, that we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and that you would give us thankful hearts, for we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and Christ is the good shepherd. We thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen.